Welcome to the deep dive. You know, for a while there, Solana got labeled a ghost chain. Especially after the whole FTX collapse, a lot of people really wrote it off.
They really did. And anyone who did, well, they missed quite the comeback story. Solana hasn't just bounced back. It's had this incredible resurgence. It's now basically knocking on the door of its old all-time highs.
Absolutely. And when you see that kind of recovery, the big question for, I think, many of us is, okay, what's the real strategy here? What's the long game? So today we're doing a deep dive into a really thoughtful analysis of where Solana stands right now.
Yeah.
Our mission really is to give you a solid framework for understanding this momentum and figuring out a personal approach.
Because look, the hype is definitely back. You can feel it. But hype isn't a plan, right? If you really want to navigate the space, you need a disciplined strategy.
Hmm.
So that's what we'll do. We'll break down the bull case, like what's actually driving the network's strength. Then we'll look squarely at the bear case, the real risks you need to consider. And finally, we'll get practical. We'll lay out an actionable strategy for managing a Solana position, something that helps you cut through all the noise.
Okay, let's unpack this. So the analysis we're looking at, it really starts by saying, look beyond the price chart. It argues pretty strongly that the activity on the chain tells a much more interesting story. It points to real, kind of durable demand, not just speculation.
Precisely. It's not just traders flipping tokens. The article pulls out a few key narratives that show this. And the first big one is DPIN.
DPIN, yeah. Decentralized Physical Infrastructure Networks. We hear the term, but what does it actually mean? Think community-owned cell networks or GPU networks, maybe even Wi-Fi hotspots. Stuff that's physical but distributed and run by users.
And that's where Solana comes in. See, these DPIN projects, they need to handle just a massive number of tiny little transactions, microtransactions, really.
Right.
And Solana's whole architecture, super fast, super cheap, it's almost perfectly suited for that. It lets these networks actually work at scale without costing a fortune in fees. It's a natural fit.
And that same speed, that low cost.
Yeah.
It's not just for Damdin, is it? It's also what's making Solana's DeFi scene so lively.
Exactly.
I mean, trades cost pennies, literally.
Yeah.
It makes it a great place for developers to build things, but also for regular users to actually participate without getting killed by fees.
And the numbers really bear this out. It's not just a feeling. The network's got over 40 million active addresses every month.
40 million?
Yeah, 40 million. And maybe even more impressive, the decentralized exchanges on Solana. They've handled over $100 billion in trading volume monthly this year.
Wow.
That kind of volume, it tells you this isn't just fly-by-night activity. It points to a really sticky, engaged user base that's actually finding utility there. They're residents, not just tourists.
That does sound like real adoption.
Yeah.
And looking forward, the analysis points to some big catalysts coming up. Fire Dancer is one they highlight.
Right, Fire Dancer. This is actually a pretty big deal for network health. It's a totally new independent validator client. Meaning it's a different piece of software that the validators, the computers securing the network, can run. Having diversity there, multiple independent clients, makes the whole network much more resilient. If one client has a bug, the others keep things running.
Okay, so it reduces the risk of those outages we saw in the past.
Exactly. It's a major step towards making Solana more robust and stable long term.
Okay, but then there's this other development, maybe the most eye-catching one, that the article calls the MicroStrategy effect.
Yes.
This involves a company called Forward Industries. They're publicly traded. And they're raising $4 billion specifically to buy SOL for their treasury.
Yeah, $4 billion. It's a huge number, but the implication is maybe even bigger. This isn't just some crypto fund. It's an industrial company saying, we see SOL as a legitimate asset to hold on our balance sheet.
Right. It kind of reframes SOL, doesn't it? Moves it slightly away from just pure speculation towards something potentially seen as a reserve asset. That forces traditional finance to pay attention in a different way.
Totally. It's a massive signal. It suggests maybe other companies could follow suit. It's a form of institutional validation that really matters.
So we have these strong on-chain metrics, this potential institutional interest.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the ultimate test? How do we know it's real adoption and not just another bubble inflating?
Well, the analysis keeps coming back to one core thing, sustained growth in active users. But not just any activity.
Right.
It's about people consistently using the chain for DeFi, for DePIN, for NFTs, for whatever applications provide them real value. That consistent utility-driven engagement, that's the sign of a healthy, growing ecosystem, not just hype.
That makes sense. It's the stickiness factor. Are people staying and building?
Exactly. Are they active because they're finding value or just because the price is going up? The evidence points towards value.
Okay, but a smart strategy isn't just sunshine and rainbows. We have to be, you know, brutally honest about the risks too. Solana isn't perfect.
Absolutely not. And acknowledging the risks is crucial. The first big one, the one everyone knows about, is network stability. Solana has had outages. Mm-hmm. That February 2024 incident, about 5 hours of downtime, it's still relatively fresh in people's minds. Now, uptime has gotten way better, and Firedancer should help a lot.
But the risk isn't zero.
It's not zero. It's something you have to factor in, especially if you're thinking long term.
Okay, risk number two, competition. This feels like a big one. Ethereum's layer twos, you know, Arbitrum, Optimism, Base, networks like that, they're not standing still. They're getting faster. And crucially, they're getting cheaper.
Yeah, a lot cheaper.
Transactions for just a few cents are becoming pretty common on some L2s now. Mm. And that directly attacks Solana's main selling point, right?
It really does. Solana's killer feature was always, it's super fast and it's super cheap. But if Ethereum L2s can offer pretty fast and also super cheap, then Solana's unique advantage starts to erode. That's a serious long-term threat.
It forces them to compete on more than just cost.
Precisely. The competitive landscape is getting much tougher.
And the final risk the analysis highlights is token inflation. This one's a bit more subtle, maybe.
It is, but it's important for holders. New SOL tokens are constantly being created and given out as rewards to people who stake their coins.
Right, the staking rewards.
Exactly. So if you just buy SOL and hold it in your wallet without staking it, your percentage ownership of the total network is actually going down over time. Slowly, silently, you're getting diluted.
Like a hidden tax if you're not participating.
Kind of, yeah. So for anyone holding long term, the article argues staking isn't really optional for yield. It's more like a defensive necessity just to maintain your share, just to keep pace with the new supply.
Okay, so we have these risks. Stability issues, which are internal problems Solana can potentially fix, versus the competition, which is external and never stops. When you weigh those two, which one feels like the bigger long-term hurdle?
Well, the source material seems to lean towards competition being the more significant long-term threat.
Why is that?
The thinking is, you know, internal tech problems like outages, however bad they are, they can eventually be engineered away. Solana has smart people working on fixes like Firedancer.
You can fix your own house.
Right, but you can't stop your neighbors from innovating. The pressure from Ethereum L2s and potentially other new blockchains, that's constant. It's an external force that Solana has to constantly react to and stay ahead of. That pressure never lets up.
It's like that saying, you can fix your own ship, but you can't stop the tide from rising.
Yeah.
The market keeps evolving.
Exactly. The technological arms race is relentless.
Fair enough. Okay, let's shift gears then. We've got the bull case, the bear case. Now let's get into the playbook.
Right. This is where the rubber meets the road, as they say. The article spends a good chunk of time laying out a personal strategy, which I think is super helpful for cutting through the market noise and emotions.
Yeah.
And the very first question it asks you to consider is Solana a core part of your crypto portfolio, or is it more of a satellite, like a smaller, perhaps more speculative bet?
And for the author of this piece, how do they see it? They argue it's a core holding. And the reasoning is pretty solid, I think. They say Solana has shown over multiple years now that it has real product market fit for providing fast, cheap block space.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it benefits from all these different trends, DeFi, DePIN, NFTs, maybe others in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That diversity means you're not just betting on one specific thing hitting it big. It feels like a more robust foundational play.
Okay, so if you decide it's a core holding for you, how does the article suggest actually building that position? It advocates a two-pronged approach. First, a basic dollar cost averaging or DCA plan. Simple stuff. Buy a set amount on the same day every month, rain or shine, ignore the price.
Just systematic accumulation.
Right. But also, and this is key, keep some dry powder, some cash, set aside specifically to buy more aggressively on significant dips, like if the price drops 20%, 30%, 35%, which, let's be honest, happens all the time in crypto.
Be ready for the sales.
Exactly, be ready. But then there's the flip side, the strict rule.
Yeah.
Absolutely no FOMO buys. Zero. If SOL rips higher and you feel like you missed the boat, too bad. You just wait for the next pullback or your next scheduled DCA day. Discipline over emotion.
That no FOMO rule. Mm. It sounds simple, but man, it's hard in practice. When everything's green, the urge to jump in is intense. Does the article offer any tips for actually sticking to that?
It really emphasizes making these rules before you're in that emotional state. Decide your dip levels. Decide your DCA schedule when you're calm and rational.
Write it down.
Write it down. Commit to it. Because your rational brain making plans is almost always going to be smarter than your emotional brain reacting to a screaming green candle. It's about trusting your past, calmer self.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so that's buying. What about holding? The strategy outlined is pretty clear. The majority of the SOL holdings are staked. And crucially, they're held in self-custody on a hardware wallet.
Self-custody, let's just clarify that for everyone. That means you hold the private keys.
Yeah.
You are your own bank. It's not on an exchange. It's under your direct control. More security, more responsibility.
Right. Important distinction. Now, the really tricky part, taking profits. How does the strategy handle selling?
This is where discipline really comes in. The author is very clear. They don't try to time the exact top. Nobody can do that consistently. It's impossible.
So what's the plan instead?
It's a scaled-out approach. They have predefined levels. First level. When the price gets back to its previous all-time highs, they trim maybe 10% to 20% of their position. Take some profits off the table.
Okay. Locking in some gains. Makes sense.
Then, if it breaks through that old high and shows strong momentum, pushing into new territory, trim another 10, 20%.
Still letting the majority run, but taking more profit.
Exactly. And then the most aggressive selling happens if things start to feel truly parabolic. You know the signs. The price chart goes vertical. Mainstream news is hyping crypto again. Your cousin, who knows nothing about crypto, starts texting you asking if they should buy SOL.
Right, the classic retail mania signals.
Those are the signals to really lighten up significantly. Don't get greedy. Stick to the plan.
Okay, that profit-taking strategy sounds incredibly structured, almost mechanical. But again, the human element. When SOL is going parabolic and you're seeing huge gains, how do you fight that powerful urge to just let it all ride? To think, maybe this time is different.
It's tough. It really is. The core advice here, the fundamental insight, is to just trust the rules. Trust the plan you made when you were thinking clearly and rationally.
Before the euphoria kicked in.
Precisely. Those preset selling points, those percentages you decided on when you were calm, they are almost certainly going to serve you better than any impulsive decision made in the heat of extreme market excitement or greed. You have to protect your profits from your own emotions.
It's like setting your strategy in stone beforehand so your emotional self can't mess it up later.
That's a great way to put it. The rules are your shield against your own worst impulses in those moments.
So if we try to boil this whole thing down the analysis, the strategy,
right.
What's the really big idea here?
I think the big idea, the core theme running through it, is building for longevity.
Longevity. Meaning?
Meaning the goal isn't just to catch one big wave and make a quick buck. The flashy wins are nice, sure, but they don't matter much if you blow up or get shaken out and aren't around for the next cycle, the next opportunity.
Right. It's about staying in the game.
Exactly. It's about having that patience, that discipline that comes from having a clear set of rules. Rules for buying, rules for holding, and crucially, rules for selling, all decided before fear or greed takes over.
So this framework, this playbook, it lets you participate in the good times, the upside, but it also protects you from getting carried away by euphoria. And it keeps you capitalized and ready for whatever comes next.
That's the goal. It's simple on paper.
Simple, but not easy.
Definitely not easy in practice. Requires real discipline.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful, a really powerful framework to think about. Thank you for walking us through it. And a huge thank you to everyone listening for diving deep with us.
Yeah, thanks everyone.
As you think about all this, maybe leave yourself with this question. What's just one rule, one simple rule you can write down for yourself right now while things are maybe a bit calmer so you don't have to invent it on the fly during a really volatile emotional day down the road?
That's a great prompt. And we genuinely love to hear your thoughts on this or what rules you might be setting. Find us on X, we're at The Deep Dive Cod, or just drop a comment wherever you're listening.
We appreciate you tuning in.
Thanks again, everyone. We'll talk to you next time.